Blog Talk Radio.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice. Easy. But there's just one thing.
Job down in the city.
You see, we never, ever do nothing.
Working for the family.
Nice.
Every night and
easy.
Day.
We always
but
do it.
I never lost
nice.
One minute. And now
we're but we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it
been.
Easy.
Big wheel.
But then we're going to do the finish. Rough.
Proud Mary.
The way we do.
Proud Mary.
And we're rolling
on the river.
Listen to the story. Left a good job
down in the city.
Working for the man
every night and day.
To start this show this way, y'all, we lost another icon. In case you didn't know, that was Proud Mary, Tina and Ike Turner's rendition of the song Proud Mary, and we want to say to her off the break and her family, rest in peace. Prayers go out to you guys that you'll be able to handle and understand and celebrate her transition. Celebrate her transition, her life here on this earth. Therese, I thought about Tina Turner, and there was a word that came to mind when thinking of her, and that was strength. That woman had strength to endure what she endured and still accomplish the things that accomplished. That is nothing but strength. Nothing but strength. I mean, every good adjective we could think of, determination, stick-to-itiveness, grit, grind, every good word, everything that we as parents want our kids to possess, you know? She possessed it. She possessed it. So, you know, I have to say again, rest in peace to the late, great Tina Turner. Lady T, you want to give your tribute?
I second the motion. What she was just, you know, you couldn't have said it no better. She was an icon, absolute icon in her field. She did the most for singing, and she brought a lot of strength, like you said. She brought a lot of strength to that field. I mean, you know, she stood for a lot of things. I mean, strength was just a powerful word. So she stood for a lot of other things as well. But she was a great lady. She really was.
Great. Great lady. And I know I caught you off guard there, Trix. But I kind of wanted to. I kind of wanted to because folk need to see why you the co-host. You know what I'm talking about? that's my Barry Bonds over there, y'all. I throw her a curveball. I throw her a slider. I throw her fastball straight down the middle. She put eyes on it and beam it out the park. Great. Great, great words. Great words. Trees. I had a great and amazing day today. Today was renewal day for me to go and retrieve my SPO license and take the urine and everything. Yes, Trees, you know what? It felt so good to go and take that urine and not have to drink no extras study for the test, you know what I mean? And the girl mocked the cup, Trees, and said, "Yeah, just fill it up right here." Girl, I gave triple that potion, and she was like, "Dang!" I said, "Yeah, it got good to me. I couldn't stop." She said, "You are a trip." I was like, "Nah, girl, you don't understand. For years and years, this test has been a struggle for me." I said, "But now all the lights are green, and I'm enjoying every moment of it." And she was like, "Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up." And even the little chick who could treat, when I came into, I can say it, Buckley's, the medical urine sample. Yeah. Girl, this, I don't want to call her a hood chick, but this serious Southeast mama was in that joint, and her and the lady behind the counter were like, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know about you, but I really hate for people to be getting into it, like, right before it's my turn. It never works out good, ever. When I go to court, when child support was an issue, thank God it's not anymore. But I used to be like, bruh. Don't piss this judge off before I get up there, man. You know, and it was always that dude who, you know, my mama told me I could say what I want to say. Yeah, bro, but don't piss her off before me. And if we get locked up together, I'm whooping your kid in the bullpen, bro. It's on. It is on for real. Thanks be to God, you know, those situations are over. But that young girl, I mean, she was adamant about her point and telling the girl, the little Spanish girl, how lucky she is to be in America and nobody, yes. I mean, she gave her, not a piece of the pie. She gave her the whole lemon meringue in the face. You understand what I'm talking about?
Whoa.
So I was just like, wow, you know. I was like, wow, y'all, okay. Let me go up here and crack a joke or two and get them, you know. And look, I came up, Trees, you know me, I'm retarded, y'all. I stood up in the middle of the both of them. I said, "In this corner, representing Buckley's."
Did I?
Everybody in that joke looked at me like, "This dude done lost his mind." But I was like, "No, we gotta have some levity here, okay? Because all of us need to come and see this lady after this girl does." And the girl was on her way out the door. You know what I mean? And she felt like, "I'm on my way out the door, so I'm going to talk to trash. I feel like talking." I'm like, oh, no. We will have some laughing, some joking, some boy you crazy, and all of that. And sure enough, the girl behind the counter, was like, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. For you to come and bring that levity to the situation. She was like, because I was ready to fight her. And I was like, yeah, but you probably would have lost. But but I can understand, you know, she was getting to you. I saw that she was getting to you. So, you know, yeah, here go my paperwork. Get me up out of here. You know what I'm talking about? But no, it was a great day. It was real good. And then when I was done, I called my supervisor, Teresa, and they was like, oh, man, you can go ahead home. I said, what? He was like, you can go ahead home. Oh, okay, yeah. I'm just making sure I heard it clear. See ya. I'm out.
No more.
I changed clothes, jumped in the car, and was out of there. Okay.
Right.
So, listen, I want today's show to go as beautiful as the day went. Okay. If you guys can make it possible, if somebody starts an argument, we just gonna laugh it off and keep it moving. You know what I mean? We just gonna roll on through it. Because we want to get all topics out. We want to discuss everything that needs to be discussed here on Kale's Corner. All right? Now, with that pact, that agreement, everybody shake hands. Lock, we good. All right. Today on Kale's Corner episode, we will discuss MLB division leaders, y'all. MLB division leaders. You know these Bammers almost done played 60 games, Therese. It's going fast, man. You know, so we're going to talk about the division leaders, rumors, and everything of that nature with the MLB. The fight we've all been waiting for a long time now. That's Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Crawford have finally set a date for their title match. I want to know who's going to win, and I want to know why they're going to win, in your book, in your opinion, okay? The Celtics refused to go home, Therese, you know?
Yeah.
They said, nah, we ain't done. Winning game four in a dominant fashion, they won game four. Let's say that again. In a dominant fashion,
right.
They won game four. So, will tonight be it? Was Tuesday night just a blip on the screen? Will the Heat come back and do that thing? Because you know what? Yes, the Celtics won, but the Heat didn't really play a good game either. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that.
Right.
We also take a look into the NFL latest news and events and see what's going on with the NFL. Got that mouth? Because, hey, listen, y'all, it's approaching. It is approaching. Lady T's picks right round the corner. Get that back. Can't wait. And listen, and I'm telling y'all, I'm going to win at least 3-4 times this year. I'm telling you right now. And every time I win, guess what? I'm donating back to Kale's Corner. Because I do that. I ain't asking no one else to do that. I'm not asking anyone else to do that. But that's what your boy going to do. You know what I mean? Cause we got to make this bigger and better. You know what I mean? And plus, I just love being able to rub it in y'all face that I won. That's my satisfaction. That, what homeboy say, Tree? That's my pleasure.
Yes, my pleasure.
All right, y'all. You can join Lady T and the Online Corner Crew on Facebook Live at Kale's Corner, or you can also join Lady T and DMV Kale and all our live in-studio family on 563-9782. Listen to this one, Therese. Kale's Corner, where reality is our only real. You like that one?
I read that on a post today. Yeah, I love that one.
Okay. No, I'm talking about. All right.
Yeah, I like that.
I think I want to hear this Proud Murray one more time, y'all. And then it's not going to be as long as it was, but I do want to hear it again, and we'll get into the MLB. Y'all time out, 563-999-3782. We don't own the rights to this music, but we do own the rest in peace, Tina Turner.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice. There's just one thing. See, we never, ever do nothing. Nice. We always do it. Nice. And rough. And we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish. Rough.
Proud Mary,
the way we
keep
do.
On burning.
Proud Mary. And we're rolling. Ooh,
rolling. Oh, man, I wouldn't be in it. Woo, I love that song. I rest in peace. In MLB division leader, guys, in the American League, we have the Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays sitting atop at 37-15 in the AL East. The Rays sitting atop the AL East. In the AL Central, we have the Twins at 26-24 sitting atop of the AL Central. The AL West, the Rangers sitting atop 31 wins, 18 losses, okay? And listen, the Astros are right behind them, the AL West, at 28-21. The Detroit Tigers are right behind the Twins at 22-25. And the Orioles, guys, at 32-17. Yes, they are. They trying to make their way in the AL East. Now, in the NL East, we have the Braves at 30-19. We have the Brewers at 27-22. In the NL Central is the Brewers, 27-22. The NL West is the Dodgers at 31-20. You have the Diamondbacks nipping on the Dodgers' heels at 29-21. We have the Pirates nipping on the Brewers' heels at 25-24. And we have the Mets, five games behind.
The Marlins.
I see your update now. Okay. The Marlins at 26-25, hunting for the Braves' number one spot. So those are our division leaders. And you guys know, I'm still saying this early, but I just like to see where they are and where they came from once all is said and done. Treece, you got anything you want
to
add?
I'm just, like when you were saying, I don't really have a lot to add, just that the Diamondbacks, you know, they were in the lead in my division. I'm just speaking on my division. They were in the lead. Mm-hmm. Now they're number two. And we were at the bottom, and now we're number three. So we creeping up there. We try to make a little move. I'm a little excited.
I see. She's speaking of the NL West, and she's talking about her Giants. Her Giants are in third right now. Right now, treat seriously. I like that. And for us Nets fans, we are fourth in the, I'm sorry, fifth in the NL East at 21 and 28, y'all. 21 and 28 is the Nets record right now. So I look at this trip.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, we still haven't recovered from that fire sale that we had. You know, I look around the MLB and I see guys with other teams that once were with the Nationals, and they're productive with their team. So, you know, it's like, okay, I understand. We won a championship, and these guys are now trying to rebuild and retool. And we can't forget, the Learners are still trying to sell the Nationals to and the Canadiens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to see what goes on with that. I hope that whoever buys the Nationals remain in D.C., you know. A lot of times guys will buy a team and they want to move it, or groups will buy and purchase a team and want to move it. So let's hope we stay put, you know. All right,
I'm over here taking up for you like a mug. Like, I keep muting the phone, talking to the online people, too. Because Mom Betty over here talking about something. What y'all talking about? I ain't hear no O's name called Kale. And then I said, I muted the phone. We talked about the O's. We said them the second, you know, they second in the league. She gonna put all these laughing emojis up there talking about something.
It's
Y'all need to say more.
No,
she put all them laughing emojis up there talking about we need to say more.
No, we're not just listening to each other, 57. You're live on air.
Oh, damn. Why you put me on live? I said they just going look. I'm like, how is Kel gonna say we gonna have a nice show today? He gonna start off with, I'm gonna win three in a row. How can you, sweetie, we have a happy show now? You know that's an argument right off the bat.
I said three or four times.
Oh, you said three or four?
Yes.
And I didn't say in a row. I said three or four times total out of the 17
you
games.
You listening with your fist, not your ears.
It's not his ears. Yeah, there you
go. I know I heard three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard three.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Anyway, I don't think it's going to be that many, man. I mean, you know.
Every time I win, I'm going to say, ding, ding, ding. One more fist stamp. Every time.
I think in the National League East, you go between the Mets, the Braves, and the Phillies. That lead might change a few times before we get to the end of the year.
What about the Marlins?
Unfortunately,
I said
the National League
East.
The NL East. I think the Marlins. I don't know if the Marlins were going. They might lead for a couple of weeks or something like that. But I think when you get to the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets, even though the Mets are not doing real good right now because they've lost a few games. They keep getting pitchers suspended. You know, if they can just, you know, the refs, if the refs will leave them alone everything. Yeah,
nobody,
you know, everything like
y'all. They keep messing with y'all pitchers too.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Well, you know what? Baseball getting ready to move a team. I see why they're getting ready to move the Oakland A's to Las Vegas. They're going to vote on it sometime in the baseball meetings this year. So that's going to make it easier for them to gamble on baseball because baseball got the most severe penalties for gambling. So they know what they're doing. Just like they put a football football team there and a hockey team there. They put in a baseball team there. And that's going to make it easy for them to bet on baseball. And it's just the money is ruining all sports, man.
Do you think that move from Oakland is about all of the let's be real, y'all. You know, reality is our real here on Kale's Corner. Do you think it's the violence that's happening down there in that Oakland stadium that's prompting them to move to Vegas?
No,
I think it could be it, Kale. That could be part of it. Because if you look at the Golden State Warriors, even though they were always located in Oakland, they built them a new stadium, but they didn't build it in Oakland. They built it in San Francisco. You know, they moved them across that bridge. You know,
that Golden Gate Bridge.
But every time you watch an Oakland A's game on TV and baseball, they always act. So you can't say you won't get in the fan base because your stadium was always packed. So what's the reason for you to really move them across that bridge or to move them into Oakland? I mean, into Vegas. And like I said, it's the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the money.
Some of the most serious and violent fan interactions have taken place in Oakland. Serious. You guys, we just recall a few seasons back where the guy was hospitalized as a fan of another team just because he wasn't repping Oakland. You know, things got a little out of hand. So I don't know. I'm with you, Therese. I know it's the betting because betting has become a major part of sports. That's why I don't understand when they are suspending these players who are betting. As long as you're not betting on yourself, as long as you're not betting on anything that you control, I don't think it should be illegal. I don't think it should be considered an offense, you know?
Right.
A lot of these people love the sport that they're playing. So betting is, and as big as betting is becoming, you would think a lot of guys would want to. Now, I'm not saying Pete Rose, you know, I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
All I'm saying is let these guys, I mean, come on, man. Let these guys bet and enjoy the game that they love. That's all.
And Kale, I'm glad you brought up Pete Rose.
Pete Rose. Go ahead, 57. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sis. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, you're good.
The Pete Rose, to me, it's a hypocrisy. You know, Pete Rose should have been in the Hall of Fame. You know, that man bet again on himself. And he didn't bet on his team. I mean, come on now. Mickey Mantle's another one. Stop trying to be holier than thou. It's not that they don't want you to bet. It's how they want you to bet. You're not betting in the direction they want you to bet. That's what's going on. The football players and baseball players got too much money to be betting the way they want to bet. No, you got to come through us or you got to go to a bookie that we control, and that's how we want your money spent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I never thought about that angle of it. So 57, what you're saying is it's more of a control issue than a betting issue.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my opinion.
And if that is the truth, that's pitiful. That is pitiful. You're talking about money that these people, like everyone else that bets, worked and did what was necessary for them to obtain that money. So for you to try to decide how or what in what manner they spend it, I think that's ludicrous. I believe that is ludicrous. And I really hope baseball isn't that petty, seriously. We know football is. We know football is.
Oh, tell them again,
baseball.
Baseball is petty.
Petty.
Baseball is petty.
All right, let's bring Brother Tang in. What's up, bruh?
Hey, Tang.
What's up, T? Kills
Corner Fame. Much love and respect. How everybody doing? What's up, big bruh? Lady T.
What's all right.
How y'all doing
What's
today?
Up, bruh?
Oh, man. You know what it is. Thursday.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, we ain't going to spend 5 minutes every show saying hello to Tang, man. Can you just go step on in and, you know, let's go?
I stepped in. I only took 10 seconds that time, 57.
I love you, bro. I love you, bro. I love you.
Just want to mess with me early, don't you? Don't give it to him, huh, bro.
We're gonna do that anyway.
I hear y'all talking about baseball, which I was coming in and I wasn't catching anything because I heard y'all talking about the betting part, but you know, I just feel like everybody bet, like 57 said, and I didn't know that it was controlled that in that perspective where he said it. I felt the same way you did, big bro. Like when he said it, I was like, dang, I ain't never think of it like that. That's crazy. They petty, but
no.
They've been like that all our lives, so I ain't know we can say really, but they petty.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean beyond petty. I'm gonna give you this money, and then I'm gonna control how you distribute this
your
money. That's crazy.
Your money.
Hey, soon as they give you that money, they got their closet of minions that they go, I just gave him $230 million now. Go get 100 of that back, okay?
Go get 100 of that back.
Go get 100 of that right back.
Dang.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And
Hell's Corner, where the real is always real.
Certain athletes have been gambling since the creation of their sport. You know, Michael Jordan, yes. We've heard of Michael losing, you know, $500,000 playing poker.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he had the financials to back that, you know. Real quick, I was looking at mansions for sale, and they've been for sale for a while. Michael Jordan has a mansion in Illinois for $59 million, and that's where it is now. That's where it is now. It started at almost $80 million for this home, you know. So $500,000, that really don't hurt that brother, man. That really does not hurt that brother. So you know, that's like us with $5. You know, but then again, I need $5, man. That's parking.
I'm about to say, bro.
That's like two things of oodles and noodles. A cup of noodles at lunch. That $5 job hurt me, man. So I'll say 5 cents then. Yeah.
There you go.
But damn it. I'm mad if I lose 5 cents. I'm looking around on the ground to see if somebody else dropped 5 cents. I need that back, man. You know what I'm talking about? In my vacation buddy.
you rich enough to walk away from a sports team and then you don't miss a beat. You know you got a whole lot of money. Michael got a whole lot of money.
A whole lot of dumb money.
Yes, sir.
Say it.
Yes,
again,
ma'am.
Say it again, man.
He went away. He divorced his first wife, he didn't even dispute it, he didn't try to fight it, nothing, $186 million, okay? He gave her $186 million, didn't even try to fight it or nothing, and just walked off. Like, it's all good. Like he was just giving her $10 or something. So
yeah, that's reached in his pocket.
Yeah, and gave it to him. So pocket that's who he deep. Is. Pocket is deep.
Yeah. You pulled that right off the top, 50
Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. man. And he still got plenty of money. That he, I ain't gonna even go there. There's gonna be a nice show today, Kelsey.
Yeah, keep it cute. Keep it nice.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. He still threw me off, y'all. Because I know 57. That boy,
that's
my
what he
mouth do. Is wicked, y'all. That mouth is wicked.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, maybe that is the absolute reason why they're moving Oakland A's out of that stadium for I believe that the betting has something to do with it, and I believe also the violent nature that goes on there. Because remember when the Raiders was there, man, that was not only did people dress like fools, they act like fools, total fools, when that stadium was there. So, you know, and I guess the Major League Baseball is looking at Oakland's situation now that they don't have, you know, those. How can I name them, y'all? They don't have those irritant fans in the crowd, and they're
the foolery.
Okay.
The
foolery.
You know, yeah, the foolery.
The tomfooleries.
You know, exactly. So I mean, hey. You know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because, I mean, people bring their kids to games, man, and people want to enjoy the experience. And you got knuckleheads, man, that, you know, just it's my experience and I want to enjoy it the way I want to. That's fine.
Right.
That's cool. I have no problem with that. But when you start interfering with someone else, That's a problem. So, hey, Major League Baseball, those are the division leaders, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. And I know I played it already, but please, I just want to hear this one more time. And we don't own the rights, y'all. We don't own the rights. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Earl Spence, Terrence Crawford thing. Yeah, that bad. We'll be right back.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice. Easy. There's just one thing. See, we never, ever do nothing. Nice. Easy. We always do it. Nice. But we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish. Rough. The way we do. Proud Mary. And we're rolling. Rolling.
Rest in peace.
Her royal daughter.
Rest in peace, King Eternal. Wow.
Rest in heaven.
Exactly. Wait, that's my co-host, man. Earl Spence and Terrence Crawford have officially announced their fight will be July 29th at the T-Mobile Arena. Let me give you a little background here. Terrence Crawford is 35. He has 39 wins, 0 losses, 30 of them by knockout. Earl Spence is 33. He has 28 wins, 0 losses, 22 of his wins have been by knockouts. Something got to give. Yes. What's up, 007? Well, welcome to the corner.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to just stop bringing y'all back. Because y'all better just start talking and be on point what you say. But I want to introduce you. Introducing 007. You got that, man?
Well, what up, Divas? Happy Thursday.
What's up,
007? Man, take it to the script.
What's
that's
up, B&B?
I don't want to know.
Bathroom boy.
007, they say we got to keep it nice today, man.
No, that fight, that's, yeah, some guy giving that fight.
Yeah.
Somebody going to have a, is even a one or a draw.
I don't think so. I got Crawford.
I predict Crawford.
Yeah, I'm going with Crawford as well. Tank, what's
the name?
I'm taking Earl Smith. And I was going to say before she said that if I had to go with someone, I was going to probably have to go with Spence, but man, this is gonna be a nice and a tough fight.
Yeah,
it's
gonna be a nice fight.
Oh, it's nice too. I'm happy to hear about them fighting, but man, I really don't know, bro. I'm gonna be honest. That's gonna be a tough fight.
Let me ask y'all a question. How long ago was it that Earl Spence Jr. was in that car accident?
It's over
3 years.
It's been about three years.
They postponed the fight so much, I forgot.
And I was talking to Marcus, our boxing extraordinaire, and he was like, "Man, that's a hoax. Don't fall for that. That ain't happening." I'm like, "Marcus, they've announced the date. They've announced the location. What do you mean it's not? This fight is happening, bro. He's like, "Yeah, whatever, man. I believe it when I see it." I said, "All right, no problem." Yeah. But
I think this fight is definitely good. We about to get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was longer than that. He was in that car accident in October of 2019.
Okay.
I thought it was in 2020. I thought she was right on point with it, almost 3 years. But it was 19.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
okay.
19. Okay. 4 years. It's been not quite four years yet. It'd be like 3.5 by the time they fight.
True. Come on, 57. Who's your winner in this fight?
I was gonna follow my little brother and go with Earl Spence, but after listening to y'all talk and listening to Sis talk about how he ain't fought in 3 years, I'm gonna take Crawford to stop this fight. What you say? I thought you said three years.
Sis. He was in a car accident. He was in that car accident 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He fought then.
Did he win? He won. So he won.
Yeah.
I remember seeing his last fight. Even though he won it, I wasn't that impressed with it. I'm going to go with Crawford to stop him in like the eighth round. Because I saw Crawford's last fight, and Crawford was a beast.
Well, I remember seeing that car that Earl Spence walked away from. And, man, I mean, it looked like a transformer had broken on the road mid-ride. You know, it was a piece here, piece there. It was all over the road. And I was like, how did that young man walk away from that? And you know, we know, the scale's corner, nothing but the grace of God. But every fight that he has had since then, I'm like you, 57. I've seen him do some good, but I've also seen where a better fighter would have taken advantage of certain moves. So, and I think Crawford is a better fighter, y'all. I seriously believe Crawford is that better fighter. So, you know, it's going to be a great fight to watch, you know. And seriously, boxing owes us this. Boxing owes us this, you know. Since the Haney-Lomachenko fight and the years and years and years of waiting.
Let's go back to Tyson, Kale. Let's go back to Tyson and May OB says Tyson and Michael Scrapes. They robbed me.
Hey, you know what? It's funny. You see, I was watching Mike Tyson's greatest knockouts the other day, just bored, wanted something to do. And they showed that. And Spinks ran and threatened and lost. He got hit with one body punch thing. And Bruh said, oh, hell no. Nah. I wouldn't have this. And he started to run, and it was like
he was retreating.
If you last,
yes, sir.
If you last three rounds,
hey,
we'll you get your money. You know,
hey,
let
Joe
up for that money. He was
Michael Tyson,
he was
Mike Tyson, not
Spink
Scout coming out the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah,
that.
He looked at him and was done, like a deer caught in headlights. He was scared to death.
Yes, he was.
You ain't lying. I don't know, I'm going straight down if I would have had to fight Tyson.
And remember, y'all, that was during Tyson's apex. He was at the top of his career still at that time.
The baddest man on the planet.
Yes, the out of the ring situations hadn't caught him yet, or at least nothing serious, you know. But man, I'm with you. I want my
Kale.
Money back, and y'all Bammers owe me. Yeah.
Hey, Gerald says.
If y'all remember, I'm sorry, sis. Go ahead.
Hold on, wait a minute, 57. You can tell your story real quick. But Gerald says that Crawford is going to get his face broke, and the best champion he seen was Larry Holmes. And Kirby says Crawford is going to get his face broken into.
Boy,
wow.
Go ahead, 57. Two dudes online smoking Marlboros. Come on, please.
Hey, look, I was getting ready to say something else until I heard him say the best champion he ever saw was Larry Holmes when Mike Tyson beat Larry Holmes to a pulp. So I don't know how you can say that right there.
Man,
you know, but
Mike Tyson beat the last four off Larry Holmes' Social Security card, man. Cut out, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Glad to be here. But
no,
if you remember,
no,
Mike
no.
was a bad. Oh, here we go. Go ahead, sis.
No, that's what he said. No. Oh, he said Larry was done by then, which y'all talking about. He said Larry was done by then, but he's talking about in his prime. But he said, Kirby says Joe Louis was the greatest of all time.
Now,
come on, Kirby. We ain't going back to that.
He said Larry took the fight at that last minute.
But he should have stepped in the ring then.
But you know what, man? All of them was on their last fight. That was like their last payday, man. When he forced Spence and Larry Holmes on them. Yeah, and like you say, they shouldn't have got in there, but they did. They did. That's why
they wanted
to get banked up like that, man.
They wanted some of that today's time money. You know, we're talking about old fighters who were fighting under old purses. Well, I can get good money just to go in the ring with Mike. Man, let me go ahead and step in that ring, man. You know, the fish
that's when Don King was still around, so you know how that was going to go.
Exactly.
Don was like, get in there and get that purse, man. I'm going to take some of it.
Take a hard
hit
in
the
mark.
Yeah,
in the
mark. Get a little bit of everybody's purse back then. He was robbing them right
there. He had Witherspoon sign a contract for $1.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He did.
Oh, my God. Now, that's terrible.
Man. He was a bad man, man.
Yeah, he was.
He had that mouth in him, man. Because if you make a purchase out for a dollar, what that tell you about to have a purchase? Yes.
Go ahead, Tang. Go ahead.
No, I said yes. Sure. I was saying yes.
Gerald said, life out loud. Mike started biting people.
He's just one person, man.
Cut it out.
Mike got a bad rep for that, man.
When your worst fight in your life is against your wife and her mother, you liable to bite a few folks because you are just
anybody.
You know what I mean?
You ain't lying.
You are liable, not to make an excuse, because it was an unsportsmanlike act. But, man, when you come out of that court and they tell you, nah, it ain't your time to talk, and he like, we're talking about my money. It ain't your time to talk. I'm gonna kill you.
But look,
he's lucky some fans didn't get bit on the way in the ring.
We bit that man twice, man.
He said Buster Douglas. What's up with Buster Douglas?
Just like his name, Buster. He was a Buster.
Yeah, exactly.
Riding around Fort Washington.
Okay,
he's a little convertible.
Buster Douglas was the one that beat him, but really Tyson knocked him out and they gave him a 20 count. But talk about
Riddick Bowe, man.
Riddick Bowe lost his mind.
Cause I just thought about that 007. Bama's in parachutes. Bama's biting people. Yes. You know what I mean? People losing the fight, but you're giving them a win anyway. I mean, come on,
yes.
Bro. Come on, bro.
Yeah, that was called fighting. They was fighting.
Y'all know what was strategic, though? After this Haney Lomachenko mess, now they come and announce Spence and Crawford. You know what I mean?
They had to.
Think about that.
They had to.
Think about that.
Because
it's
a cover-up.
So many people were talking about it. So many people. I'm talking about stars and everybody. Everybody was talking about how they were like, man, I'm not watching boxing no more. Everybody that said that, the stars are talking about
video.
They can't wait for the 29th. They're going to be right there saying, damn.
Boy. Can't believe they put Maybelline on boxing, man.
Well,
you see, everything they're doing in boxing proves everything that I've been saying, that boxing is just a game. They just throwing anything out there in front of you thinking it'll work, you know, and now that they see that last fight, that Haney fight, that was a terrible fight. Now everybody wants to complain. Should have been complaining years ago.
Right. Yeah, really should have. Really should have to make boxing step their game up. Because I know Mike Tyson during that era where the fight wasn't lasting but two, maybe three rounds, I was like, hey, look, y'all, come on, man. I just went to the bathroom. You know what I mean? I'm thinking that I got time and come back. Everybody standing in the middle of the ring. I'm like, it's only supposed to be two people, three people. Excuse me, in the ring. The fighters in the ring. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And my man was like, you missed it, yeah. I missed what?
You missed.
And then I find myself sitting there watching the replay and waiting for the replay. And it seemed like they knew we stepped away for a moment because that was the longest time to actually play the replays I've ever seen. I was like, man, come on. What happened?
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes they would play it over because it was over with that play. They would just play it over right there.
Yep. Mike Tyson is the reason you start getting 3 and 4 undercards because you used to get the heavyweight fight and maybe one more fight with that. And then Mike started knocking people out in the first round and they had to give you something else to look at.
Yeah,
you know, they throw all these.
Yeah,
you know. And then Mike wouldn't come into the ring until 11 o'clock, and the fight was over with at 11:05.
Please tell it.
How can I enjoy my popcorn now?
The
now I got to leave.
The medicine everybody in the ring get this ass out the ring.
You know,
yep.
I'm like,
you
man,
got your
come on, bro. And John King get up there talking about, it was a great match. It was strategic, man. They didn't have long enough in that ring to do any strategy. Slim was scared, and Mike took advantage. Slim was scared, and Mike. I mean, come on, y'all. Will Smith made a song up about it. I think I can beat Mike Tyson, you know, because everybody was scared before they even stepped in the ring. Everybody.
But,
hey, you know, hopefully this fight does go down and be everything we want. I want it to go the distance. I want these guys to display all their skill sets and you know, wit and all of that. Because I'm the type of dude that watched the fight, and I'm like, hey, you had an uppercut right there. Dang, you had that right cross right there. Dang, man, you had that body shot. I don't want to say that at all with this fight. I want everything utilized and displayed as it should be. Come on in here, Marcus.
What's going on, Chad?
What's happening,
Marcus?
You talking about the fight, man?
Yeah, I know. You know, just so y'all know, you know, this fight because of all of the time it's taken, I have a
mute
feeling
your phone
going,
in the background, Tang. Sorry, Mark.
I have a feeling that this is going to be an overhyped fight because of how long it's taken. Hello?
We hear you.
Okay, I feel like it's gonna be an overhyped fight. It's taking too long. Number one, you know, Terrence Crawford. Like I told y'all before, I've never been a real Terrence Crawford fan. Number one, because he holds the WBO belt, the WBO title, and that's a mini belt. And every time they try to get him to fight a big name and come out of that at that little mini stage, his promotional team, you know, and these cats, I'm not going to just blame him. I got to, you know, you got to blame the whole squad. You know, they make him look bad because they keep having to go back to the drawing board, go back to the table, go back to the drawing board, go back to the table. Oh, we don't want to do that. So they'll set the date and then they can't come to an agreement, you know, so. Things like that make him look even worse. It makes him look like he's ducking Errol Spence, you know. And honestly, I think he'll beat Errol Spence, you know. But the truth of the matter, it's going, in my opinion, it's going to go the distance if they do fight. And I don't think it's going to be that exciting. I'm going to be real, you know. Mm. And for all that it's taking to me, It's going to be an overhyped fight. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. Tell me what will be, what's your definition of an exciting fight? What's your definition of an exciting fight, Marcus?
So, you know, styles make, for me, I'm from, you know, I'm from the old school as it pertains to fighting goes. And, and we haven't had, you know, fights recently that look like anything, you know.
Good
fights where they're evenly matched, where people are actually taking, you know, willing to take that risk at losing their title, losing their belt. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of the fights are between somebody who just has the following, like a YouTuber, or, you know what I'm saying, like what we just witnessed with Javonte Davis and the other young man. You know what I'm saying? Like Javonte Davis is a top name, right? And then he went up against Garcia. Garcia is a YouTuber. That's how he got his. That's how he, even though he had some power, he didn't come up the rankings the right way.
Gerald
looks like he quit to me, Mark.
I understand what you're saying too, but let me tell y'all what Gerald said. Gerald said I would knock Mike Tyson out going back to Mike Tyson, and he put laugh out loud. He left. I still got some hands. My hands nice.
Gerald said he would what?
He said he'd knock Mike Tyson out. He said. My hands is still nice. And then he said, this fight right here with the Earl Spence, he said, this is a step up for real. They already talking about a trilogy. Sounds shady to me, but I'm still with Earl.
Tell Gerald that first line, he should have added that into the Will. He should have added that into the Will Smith song. That he think he could beat Mike Tyson. That would have been a class. That would have been a class.
Thank you, man.
And secondly, I don't know. I know Crawford is 35 and Spence is 33, but 35 and 33 is not that far apart. And that's really prime. That's really prime era for. Now, I can understand if Earl Spence was 23. Going against a 35-year-old. These guys are not that far apart. And like I said, since that accident, Earl Spence won, but it really wasn't impressive how he won. I'll say that.
But tell Gerald, if he fight Tyson, he might as well get in one of the machines that you talk with. Have it ready. Get out of the hospital.
They tell him a tracheotomy. That thing is on your throat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And some metal ear guards. Get some ear guards.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, Mike won't even have to bite him. Let's keep it 100. Mike won't even have to bite him. I saw a video of I was just about to say. I saw a video of Mike working out, and I was like, damn, Mike was like, he could still go in the ring, you know? So,
he said he's going to bite Mike ear.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why they ain't got
goodness.
That old school boxing thing on no more, because Mike tried to hurt Roy Jones. Roy Jones was playing around.
Yeah.
Mike was trying to knock his ribs out.
What was it called? The submission?
I can't remember there.
That was something that he was part of too.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember that.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Roy Jones ain't want no parts of Mike. Seriously.
No.
From the get go. And then let's not forget Roy's last fight didn't end too good for him either. His last fight didn't end too good for him. So you think you're going to step in that ring with Mike? Bruh. I watched that fight just for the punishment factor to see if Mike was going to be able to get off some of his anxiety, you know? That and it wasn't entertaining. at all. Because once again,
he's supposed to be a barber, man.
Well, yeah, some might say that. Some may say that. But
he got him a whole Marlboro guard.
Yeah.
Roy turned into, what's my man name with the swim bike? The dude with one testicle.
Lance Armstrong.
Roy turned into Lance Armstrong, got on that bike, and proceeded to ride miles around that ring. So, yeah.
And let's just say, I knew who you was talking about before you said one testicle, okay? That didn't get it. I just want y'all to know.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, it's a popularly known fact, bro. Man got one testicle.
Oh, yes, it is. Hey. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, but back to 57, you ain't going to do it to me. Earl Spence and Terrence Crawford, July 29th. And yeah, I can't wait. Now, my only thing, I hope that it don't be so much traffic that my fire stick gets to playing around. You know what I'm talking about? I want to watch that whole, I want to see everything. The intro, the music that they chose to come into, everything. The look on their face when they walking down that hallway. I want to see it all. I want to see it all to get a better grasp of who going to do what. Because that, I'm telling y'all, that and then that stare down in the middle of the ring, it almost tells you everything you want to know. Almost tell you everything you want to know.
Well, you're going
to
see all that. You're going to see all that, Bill. You're going to see all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fire stick don't start acting up until, like, the second round. That's when everybody tuned in.
Now, my fire stick be great. It don't mess up.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Well,
I got
me a little sight right now.
Yeah, matter of fact, it's going
to Anybody that ain't got this site can call me the night of the fight. I give it to you. But I can't give it to you over the podcast.
Hey, look at here.
I know that's
look
right.
Look at here. Treat to say, I went to their house for a fight party. Them families got it on two TVs. I'm like, what the hell? You know
right.
What? I'm getting me a five stick, man. I'm getting me a five. Them families had it on one TV for the women, and the men all in another room watching the fight. I said, goodness gracious. God, look, as my mama used to say, got to be more careful. That's right. Was like,
okay.
I got to be that. Yeah. So, hey, July 29th, again, July 29th, y'all. Mark the date. And we might do a little something here on Tales Corner. Lady T and I are going to get together and bump heads a little bit and see what we can come up with. Because I want to bet. I want to place a bet here. And yeah, we're going to give y'all the logistics of the bet and everything. Second place, as usual, you'll get a T-shirt. First place, you'll get the money. All right. All right, y'all. Great conversation. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back. And when we come back, these Celtics say they ain't ready to go, y'all. They refuse.
Okay.
Shall I say, think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October.
Like
a toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes. Now I suppose your host, the little black boy, grows. 18 years younger than my...
Hey, we don't own the rights to the music, but we own the boogie. Yeah, the Celtics say they ain't done, man. They say we want to go on and on with this thing. beating the Miami Heat in game four, 116-99. Now, let me just say this. I don't know if the Heat woke up too late, had too much home cooking, or what it was, but they just looked sluggish to me. Even Jimmy Butler, you know, Lowry, all those guys just looked sluggish to me. They looked like they weren't the game as they should have been. You know, did anyone else see that? Trees, how about you?
It just looked like they were told not to do really, really good because they didn't want the playoffs. I mean, their first round to be, I mean, that second round to be over. So it just seemed like it was a lot more into it than it, because 15 turnovers, like, they don't never turn the ball over that many times. Like, that was crazy.
Right.
Like, just keep turning. No sense of urgency or holding on to the ball. You losing at home. Right. They'll never lose at home. Like, it just looked rigged to me. It just looked rigged. Like, I don't know. It didn't look good.
Hey, can I say this? I think it was more Boston wanted the game. They wanted the game more because they didn't want to get sweep. Swept, I meant to say.
Well,
so it's more like Boston just had a better game. So look for Jimmy Butler come through after that loss. That team will be back.
Okay.
I think that Miami played five games at two in the last series and three in this series where they played above their head and better than anybody expected. And I think they would just do a bad game. I'm not disputing anything anybody else is saying. It's just my opinion. I think they would just do a bad game, and this was the bad game that they had. You know, everybody looked all the sorts. Jimmy Butler looked tired, you know, and I think we'll see tonight a little bit more. I think, exactly. But I do think the pressure is on Miami now and not on Boston, because they got – if they don't win tonight, then it's really going up the ante on them. So,
but you just said they just do need rest. They do need a rest. They did need a rest after them, you know, them games. So that's
I didn't say they need a rest because you're in the championship 007. You don't need no rest. You're supposed to go out there.
No.
You either got it or you don't have it. And I think they didn't have it the other night.
Yeah, well, I can agree with that. I
agree with that, too, that they was tired. I can agree with that. Like you say, them five games, and they definitely played above and beyond. Not saying that they're not no great players, but they definitely played above and beyond. But don't be surprised, because it's like what Lady T was saying, that they could have told him, look, just take off tonight. Even though I saw main man Gabe Vincent come down on his ankle, and he did. He was kind of standing on that joker when he did that jumper.
He's not playing tonight either.
He's not playing tonight. Exactly. They got him out tonight.
That's one of the
somebody
else
step up. Because that's who usually steps in when Jimmy Buckets go out. He usually come in and start distributing. And not saying that all of them can't distribute, because like 57 said, I done seen my man, the center, out of Bayou, come down there running the point guard like he is the point guard. But Vincent was a big part of every win that we talking about until they lost the other night. And I think that's going to be a major loss for them tonight. And like she's going to say too, NBA, they didn't want this game to be over with, and they was going to have to wait a whole week without no NBA. They did not want that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now if they do lose tonight, it would be exactly right on the week. But I still think the Celtics going to win tonight.
First of all,
if I can piggyback.
The NBA couldn't afford for the Celtics to lose the other night. They couldn't afford it because – We're in an era where attention span is real short here. So They have to keep it fresh as possible. What better way than to let the Celtics extend that series? Go ahead, Fitzgerald.
I think that what really piggyback off of what Sis said, that Boston had been coordinated to go all the way to the championship and win this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be the best team in basketball. And all of a sudden, Denver came out, and everybody went, wait a minute. Even if Denver makes it out, Boston can't beat this team. So they didn't care if Miami beat them. But now they're looking at it and saying, we still want Boston to be in it. This is not what we want. And I think what Sis is saying is it is rigged a little bit, and they are trying to rig it so Boston can, even if they don't win it, they can go to a game seven and save face. Yeah. And I think that's what it is.
And I don't like that either, that's happening, because when them boys play next Thursday, if they do go to a game seven, and even if they go to the game six, I feel sorry for each one of them teams, because they're going to be tired, man. Them boys over there at Denver, man, they're a different type of breed right now, man. They remind me of when Golden State was on top, when we wasn't really paying attention to them the same way the same way I did Denver. But them boys are going to run whoever they play off the court to me.
To piggyback off of what Tang's saying, this is the Denver team that we were supposed to see in the bubble. But Murray got hurt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Yeah.
They going to win it. I'm telling you, they going hard right now.
Yes,
and one thing that's common among the team that wins the NBA championship, at some time we always see them hit Dustin's type of shots. And that's all Joker. Every game this last series, Joker against LA, Joker was hitting, I mean, some shots that left me like, damn, how he hit that, Joe? He just threw that up to the basket. And, I mean, a couple of them were against not just a defender, but the shot clock as well. And I'm like, man, this Bama just threw – he literally just threw it up, man. Like, whatever. And nothing but the bottom of the net, that's a destiny-type shot. That's a destined-type shot. So I'm looking at Denver as no matter who wins. Now, I think Miami will give Denver a little more go than Boston. But I'm with you, Trees. Denver is on a destiny ride right now. They're on a destiny ride. Man. And they're handling their business, man. Like Tree said, they're playing like a different type of monster out there right now. And teams just don't have an answer for them. Y'all remember when Hachimura came out and had that good defensive effort against Joker? Everybody was saying, oh, Hachimura is the answer. And I was even mad because I'm seeing another Wizard player doing his daggone thing, you know? And, hey, you know what? Which reminds me, and I wanted to bring this up on the show. It was an article in NBA, ESPN, and they were talking about the Wizards and how we don't have patience with players. We don't allow teams to really form and unite with one another. We're always cutting guys, trading them, sending them to the G League, doing everything but showing our patience with these guys. Now, I will say this, Dan. I will say this. We showed more patience with the GM that they just fired. Don't know why, but we showed more patience with him. But if you look over the years, we've been giving away players who go to other teams and show out. We were just talking about Tuesday. Thomas Bryant, Ish Smith, Caldwell Pope. These guys about to get a ring with Denver, and every except for Thomas Bryant and Ish Smith, Caldwell Pope is a key clog
making
with the
a
Denver team. Making
yes.
a difference.
Yes, sir.
Making a difference.
Can I say one thing?
That article had me kind of hot. It was the truth. Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, but it's the truth, though. That's the truth.
At one time. And I know Tang remembers, and I know you remember too, Kel, and I know Sis remember, we had Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, and it was one other player. We had all of them on the same team. Darvin Ham, we had all of them on the same team, and we shipped them all away, and each one of them got a ring now.
Yep.
Each one of them.
Yep. Hey,
but we already know why that happened, man. We ain't going to go down that road again. We already know why that happened.
Hey, Tang, every time you tell us to be patient, man, and nothing happens, bro.
We already know why that happened. Let's not go down that road again because I don't feel like talking about Mike no more about that because we know what happened with that. Even my man that he got, what's your boy name, Tree, from North Carolina? Stackhouse.
Kwame.
That was the worst move he ever made in his basketball career in life.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Stackhouse. Jerry Stackhouse. He said that was the worst. That was the worst move he ever made in his career in basketball.
Yeah.
His career went down the drain after that. Because they wanted to make Mike happy, but Mike was still he just was, you know, man. Mike just messed up.
Yeah.
Him, Brendan Haywood. He brought everybody from North Carolina here and sent them up Detroit.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. Every time y'all talk about that, I go straight to that because that's exactly what happened. And I love Mike.
But you know,
twisted. I love Mike, but you know, Mike.
Yeah,
The one player that left here and got a ring that really bothers me is JaVale McGee.
He got rings with an S.
JaVale got about three rings, man, with two different teams.
Yeah.
JaVale
Exactly. And I'm like, we didn't even really give him – we heard all these excuses about asthma and his mother is too boisterous in front office, and this is a problem and that is a problem. Whole time that young man was keeping his head down and playing ball. He was getting rebounds for this Wizards team. He was defending the rim, everything.
And you know what, big bro, discarded.
He couldn't leave the nightlife alone, though, Kale.
Exactly, big bro. Let me tell you something else. When he was here,
man, we
got to really look at it
about everybody. Here with the Wizards, man.
He was acting like a kid.
But it's a fact with him, though, Kel.
He was doing some of the dumbest things on the court. Things on the court. We, like you say, we caught him when he was young, and he was under Gilbert Arenas and all that. And Gilbert was older than him, so he was doing the same dumb stuff they was doing. That's what really happened with JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee, he would show you the flashes, and we knew he had it in him. But just like we always say, they go somewhere else because they was partying and doing what they was doing. When they go somewhere else, it ain't going down like that in other areas, man. It's just totally different. And we caught JaVale McGee at the wrong time, man. He was young. He was acting a fool, man.
Something about JaVale McGee y'all might not know. I'm going to tell y'all something about JaVale McGee that y'all might not know. JaVale McGee, he's a record producer. And he got a self-titled album. It came out in 2018. And he's on Justin Bieber's records, some of Justin Bieber's records. I don't know if y'all knew that
Justin
about him. Justin Bieber.
He was smart because he getting money if it's Justin Bieber. He getting some money, whatever he did. What'd he do?
produced.
Yeah, is he rapping?
Oh, he
rapping
produced.
Or singing?
Oh,
he, no, he produced.
Oh.
He's a producer.
Oh, he's
a
model. He went where the money was at. Especially
yeah,
he got a
yeah.
studio in Inglewood. He got a studio in Inglewood.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, good job. Good job, young man.
Yeah.
Good job. I like I like to see when players make a serious career move for themselves for after they're done playing, you know, still remaining relevant. But, hey, look, real quick, y'all. Let's go into the NBA head coaching vacancies. We got the Pistons, the Raptors, the Bucks, the Suns, and the 76ers, okay? We all know the Rockets have hired Ime Udoka, so take the Rockets
right.
completely off of that list.
Right.
But available head coaches, we got Dwayne Casey, we got Nick Nurse, we got Mike Budenholzer, Monty Williams, and Doc Rivers. Out of that list, guys, who do you think going to get a job first? I say Budenholzer. I think Mike Budenholzer is going to get a job first because I don't blame him for what happened to what happened to the Bucks this year.
I agree with you.
And then I got Nick Nurse right behind him. So, yeah, I agree
what
with
about
that.
Monty? What about Monty Williams?
Monty probably third. Monty probably third because he didn't play that bench right. Like, he made a lot of crazy mistakes. He was acting weird.
That was the owner's fault that made Monty Williams start coaching like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he gave up all his players, you think about when he gave up his players.
Hold on,
Monty Williams was running it. Monty Williams was running that thing like he was supposed to. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then when the owner, when that new owner came in and wanted Kevin Durant so bad, to me, he messed the whole.
Okay, right.
The whole team up. Yeah, he messed the
whole
team.
I have a question. How you in the playoffs? Like a number one seed or top seed, and every time you are in the first round, I mean, you in the playoffs, you right in it. You expect to go to the finals, especially if you have Kevin on some of the Suns. Mm-hmm. I mean, every three straight years, they in the playoffs.
Well,
and
the Suns had the same situation that they've had every year. Once Chris Paul goes down, the Suns
yeah.
is a different team.
The whole team collapsed.
Yes.
And
they
if Chris Paul would have went down
team.
This time and they had the same people, I think they would have been all right. But that new owner really messed it up this year. Because Chris Paul could have went down if they still had them two young dudes that went over there to the Nets, New Jersey Nets.
I blame last year on Monty Williams because of the way he was coaching. But if I could piggyback on what Tane and was saying, you know, every year that they get into the playoffs, either Booker or Chris Paul gets hurt.
Name.
Now, as far as Chris Paul goes, you should have got rid of Chris Paul and got you somebody that was reliable, that could run up and down the court with Booker. Then this year, you can't blame that on Monty Williams. Because you sold half the team just to get one player. And after those six guys, you done ran them off.
Yeah, right.
You ain't got no seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth guy to run out there on the court because you just sent them to the Nets and all around the country. So Monty Williams shouldn't have got fired for what they did. Now, Doc Rivers would be sitting out for a while before I could put any more confidence in him.
Mm. You think so?
I'm with that. I second that motion. I think Doc
was a product of the front office as well. I really truly do. Because when Doc was
Doc didn't defend Ben Simmons.
Hold on, let him finish.
When Doc was able to play the team without Embiid, we saw a better coach team, a more cohesive team, and they actually won without Embiid. And the owner said, no, he's the MVP. I don't care if he slows down the offense. Care if he clogs up the lane. Maxey or Harden weren't able to drive to the basket anymore. And that we saw, that was their bread and butter. And they were scoring every time. Every time.
Right.
They brought Embiid back, and it slowed everything. Embiid, I see all the other big men bringing the ball up. Why can't I? Because you bring the ball up, and nobody else touches it. Nobody else touches the ball. You bring it up, you shoot, you miss. And because you're shooting threes and missing threes, you're too far away from the basket to get the rebound.
Get the rebound. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I don't really put that on Doc. I don't really put that on Doc. That's just what my opinion.
Come up with that.
You know what, though? Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, Steph.
No. Kale said it all. He said it all. I can't be clearer than that.
I agree with everything you just said about that. But the thing you got to look at is the Philadelphia 76ers, the 3 years before Doc got there, they were the same way when Doc was there. So a lot of that goes with Doc, too. They never did nothing, and they stayed the same.
Yeah.
They were the same thing for the last 6 years. Look at it. They were the same thing for the last 6 years. Three without him before he came, and three with him. And just like Philly Dell was saying, forgot what he was talking about. He should have made it work with that boy Ben Simmons. You know, he shouldn't have let the team come down on him like that, and they destroyed him. You know, because he really thought that those were his brothers. And he thought that they was going to be with him and come, you know, just be with him, have his back. And the whole team went against that man. They went against him, man. They just destroyed him, man.
They got rid of Jimmy Butler.
They destroyed everything about
Doc,
him. They destroyed it.
Yeah, Doc was supposed to nip that in the bud because, to me, he's a player's coach. So that's the part where he would have played his best for me. Was like, hold on. Y'all know what he can do. We know he don't shoot that much, but he give us a whole lot of energy. He's going to dunk the ball because when he's running, he's going to run the court and do what he got to do. Mm-hmm. We know he wasn't no jump shooter. We knew that.
He's going to play great defense.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything else he did was great. He rebounded. Yeah. He was high above the rim, and he played D.
Okay.
It's just like Anthony Davis. They complained about Anthony Davis, but Anthony Davis didn't come out of college as a big scorer. He came out of college as a great defensive player. Now he's playing good defense, but you want him to score 30 points a game when that's not what he does. Come on, man.
Right.
Coach these teams.
Yeah. Fact.
And that's it, too. I always say this about teams and being on the right team at the right time. Being on the wrong team and the player that you are can't hurt or hinder you in your career, period. It can either hurt you or it can help you. If you're on the right team, it's going to help you. If you're on the wrong team, then everything that you do is going to be micromanaged. It's going to be micro looked at. And then you're going to become, your confidence is going to be low. And everything that you do, you're going to become Ben Simmons.
And the player to me that you just described was Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown was a way better player than his output on the court. Mike destroyed that man.
Destroyed.
Michael Jordan destroyed. And now more and more of the stories are coming out, you know, how Mike used to throw basketballs up in the stand.
I told you.
And tell Kwame, you a fat boy. You gonna work out. You don't worry about the basketball skill portion of the game. We got to get you in shape because Mike wanted his first pick to be a success. It was just too much for Kwame. We all talk about how new players don't adapt to old school coaching, which will be the same problem with Mbembe in San Antonio to me. Go ahead.
Let me just say this too. With the Kwame thing, pairing him up with Michael Jordan and putting him on that team was the worst thing they could have done. But not only was that the worst thing they could have done, you had people like Stephen A. Smith talking all kind of crap, how bad he is, he a bust, he this, that, and the other. So that makes everybody else look at you like you a bust and like you just nothing. You know what I mean? So if you got the commentator saying you nothing, then you got the sports writer saying you nothing, then you got your mentor saying you nothing, eventually you're going to figure, I ain't nothing.
Right.
And then now
right.
You're on the wrong team. That, I mean, it just all play hand in hand. When you talk
really
about
does.
A young player, because he was 17, 18 years old when he first came into the league.
Yeah.
He didn't go to college. He came straight mm-hmm. from high school.
And Mike so, wanted
I'm not waving
no
white flag for Mike, Kwame Bryant.
No, I'm just saying, dog. We're talking about guys who were put in a non-winning position.
Yeah,
we're entering the league. Yes, yes. So we're going to take a call. Ooh, is this Rev or not?
Oh, what's up, y'all? What's going
hey,
on, Nob? What's up, Nob?
What's
nothing.
Going on with what's you, bro? Ain't nothing, man. It's spitting a little NBA facts out.
Oh, okay. That's what's up, man. I mean, and y'all got it right, man. Like, Kwame Brown was, he was a rotational big man, probably a backup big, probably his best, I guess you could say, quality. He was overdrafted because he was picked number one. If he'd have went to college, he would have went way later in the draft because people would have seen the limitations. But, I mean, hell, he played 10 years, man. So he was definitely able
right.
to keep getting the gig. And I'm going to tell you this right now. He a top five roaster. You better not talk about that dude online. Let Kwame
okay.
find out you talking about him online and make a video okay. about you. You don't want no part
hey,
of that.
Indeed.
Kwame funny
it's
enough.
It's going viral. It's going viral.
I can agree with everything you said except for the deficiency part. Because I believe if he'd have went to college, he'd have had time to mature in his game. And he'd have had time to, yes, that first year from high school, yeah, we would have saw a not-so-good Kwame Brown. But I think if he stayed in college and actually learned the speed of the game and the different attributes that it takes to make you a successful player, I think he would have been better. I think he would have been better because he would have actually had time to learn instead of being ridiculed, instead of feeling
yeah.
like he shouldn't be here. He's less than,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
Hey, look.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's not, like 57 say, this is my opinion right here, and I used to always have 57 of them laughing about this because I stuck with this from day one. I really believe, because you know Kwame Brown never knew who his father was. I believe.
More. No, you're not.
Was his I believe Michael
yes,
Jordan was his father.
Let me finish this.
I believe that was Michael Jordan's son. That's why he was so hard on him. Because one thing for sure, if he was such a bust, why did Mike pick him back up to play for him down in North Carolina in Charlotte?
Because he
Michael
realized
got him
that
again.
He killed
he played.
Him.
That's where he finished his career out at.
Yeah, Mike realized he killed
Pain.
Him. And he owed him.
He owed
him.
And just opened up
out.
The X-Files.
Kwame
oh
found
God.
Out who
yeah,
his real father was. He did find out right. who his real father was later on.
He always knew.
Said.
He always
that's
knew who his father
said.
Was.
That's why
yeah.
he used to always say, He just found out, not just, but he did find. He didn't know when he was young. And that's just what he say. That's why
yeah,
he got paid in the NBA. His daddy was going on him too hard because he wanted more out of him.
Right.
His father was
I can't believe you still saying that.
Okay.
He's been saying this stuff since 2007, bruh.
Kale's Corner, man. Kale's Corner. We live on
the air. Reality is our only real.
Mike, that man, father. Damn.
He had baby pappy.
Hey, look. Yeah, that's worse than Obama having to show his birth certificate.
Or Trump showing his taxes.
How about right, that? You know what I'm right. saying? Yeah.
Or Michelle Obama really a man. That one. Yeah.
Y'all need to cut that out, man. Y'all need to cut that out, bro. Y'all said we was going to have a nice show tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Big Bro, you sure I'm supposed to bring that up right now because you know we're going to go hard.
Yeah, bro.
Okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Don't be starting no arguments, Kale.
So top, the coaches don't
go in this
order.
I got teams coming
out
my
order. Mike Budenholzer will be the first coach hired. Nick Nurse will be the second. Monty Williams the third. Dwayne Casey will be the fourth, and Doc Rivers is
in negotiation.
He's going to be an analyst.
I agree with everything you say, and the coach that I'm about to bring up, I think he'll be behind all of them still. But what's my man name that his pops just passed away this year, too? And he was coaching the Houston Rockets, y'all.
No, that's not him. I know you're talking about Silas.
Oh, you're wrong, man. Yeah, there you go, Miss Lady T.
Lady T.
Can
I ask you a question, Lady T? What's the name of our coaches? What's our coach's name, please?
Wes, Kale.
Calling him Thumbhead and Eraserhead.
No, 57. It'd be me going on them. I'd be telling them to stop that. That'd be Big Brother. That'd be the host and the co-host.
Hey.
That should be going on all the time.
No.
That's what you do.
It's such a fitting name, y'all. It's such a fitting name. Look, when he turn around away from the camera and I hold my thumb up to the TV, it's the perfect shot for my thumb, dog. Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. This dude is crazy, man.
Hey, look, when they lose a game, he put his thumb up and go, then look at you. You just lost another.
I can smack you. I can hit you
with the hammer.
I'm bald-headed too, y'all. But it don't help that he's bald, man. I'm telling y'all, next season when the Wizards are playing, hold your thumb up to the screen, and it's a perfect match.
It's a perfect match. I'm telling you.
Yes. That's why it's hard for me.
Things about to change for us, bro.
I hope so.
An index finger? What are you
going to
be, an index
finger? Hey, look, just worry about Chicago, please.
Exactly.
He's going to lose weight. He's going to lose weight and turn into the middle finger.
I knew you were about to say that.
Tang, you see who started the stuff, right? It's the host and the co-host. You see who started the stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, it's our turn.
Tell them, Lady T, it's our turn. That's all.
563-999-3782. NFL talk when we come back. At least a little bit it is to talk about the NFL. But we'll be right back with it, man. I love y'all people, man.
Okay. Love's in the air.
Right there.
house for Kirby. You know, Kirby always telling me I ain't going to go to R&B. So that was for my man Kirby. Latest NFL news. They put out a ranking for the NFC West quarterbacks. The NFC West guys. They got your boy at number two. It's Sam Donald with the Rams, Purdy with San Francisco, Geno Smith with the Seahawks, and then Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. Yeah, are you cool with that list? You think Sam Bradford better than Purdy?
I only think they gave it to him because of the experience. Purdy's only been there 1 year, and they only have that 1 year to see. So I'm cool with it. I think Purdy is better than him, but I'll take it.
Okay. They're talking about Dallas defense.
Let's go.
Boy, I was waiting for him. I knew he was about to.
You couldn't get it out.
I knew he was about to. I can't even get it out. But they're starting with DeMarcus Lawrence and Maji Smith and OC. Come on, Tang, help me out. Michael Parsons. Which, you know what, Tang? You know I don't really give you a whole lot of compliments, but I do like Michael Parsons because he is you guys' answer to our what's that boy's name that can't stay healthy that we didn't pick up his fifth-year contract?
Chase Young.
He is you guys' answer to Chase Young. But your cornerback. You know, Stephen Gilmore, Jordan Lewis,
yes.
Trayvon Diggs, you know, Malik Hooker at safety and Donovan Wilson. I gotta give y'all props. Y'all got a pretty stout defense this season.
Hold on.
Let me mark that down. I'm writing it down.
What you give us, big bro?
I'm not saying it again. You missed
that's
it.
Right. That's what I can do. After this show,
he said stout.
I can go back and listen to it again.
Look at that.
He said stout.
I can go listen to it again.
Let me say this, man. What Kale is saying reminds me of my old school song. I've heard this before. Dallas going to do the same thing they normally do, get to the playoffs and take that right exit home.
They're going to get off the playoff beltway, man.
Yes, sir.
I ain't going to let you get me fired up yet. The preseason games haven't even started yet, 57, so I ain't going to let you get me heated up right now.
Year.
I appreciate
that's
you,
all
big bro.
Anyway, we hear you, Tree.
Hey, sis,
we
can't go on what you're saying, sis, because you make banana pudding with this dude, so we ain't got nothing to say to you either.
Listen, I don't care about that banana pudding right now. What I'm telling y'all is 2023 is our season. We trying to stay healthy. We always the last one standing on this corner anyway, so we're going to be winning. Y'all gonna be so mad at me. I'm telling you.
Hey, young, you make it so.
We mad at you now, sis.
Yeah, you make it so easy to hate San Francisco, yeah. You make it so easy. Listen, in Washington news, Eric the Enemy. Is finally coming in and doing what I have been asking a coach for this Washington football team to do. That is lighting a fire under their hindparts. Your boy our tight end, Logan Thomas, dropped the pass.
Ooh, he said hi.
Then tried to jot or trot back to the huddle. And Eric Bieniemy told him, hey, man, what you doing? No, we don't do that. We don't do that around here. I understand what y'all used to do, but you got a different offensive coordinator, okay? A man is in charge. So, therefore,
yes, sir.
I need you to run. Then your boy, Howell, deception and just let it go. And Eric Bieniemy say, what you doing? He said it was an interception. He said, I know. He said, you better run his you-know-what down. You better stop him from scoring.
Yeah.
He was like, man, I don't care about you being the quarterback. You got pads on. Get in the game.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
You do an interception, you clean it up. You clean it up.
At the goal line.
And I
on Cordenas.
Yeah. He ain't built like that though to clean it up. That's why he was hesitant.
Well,
hey, but
he
look.
Never had a coach to make him clean it up.
Yeah, because somebody that got ain't nobody over top of his head, because I heard that too. They said Ron Rivera told him, you got this. Do what you do. That's your side of the field. So I'm glad that he don't have nothing over top of his head, nobody trying to hold him back. He got a second guess of what he's doing. This person might want some. Yes. He got the keys to do it. He can cut it off and cut it on if he wants to. And they're going right in his pocket. Exactly.
Okay.
They, you know,
he ain't got to hang the keys up. He can put them in his pockets, what y'all saying?
Yeah, he ain't got to hang them up. No, he can take them home with him.
No.
He's taking them home.
Okay.
And listen, guys are learning now when the game starts. If this Bama is in my – you know, now, he in my heart, shut up, 57. If this battle is in my heart now, I know when the game starts, when it's game time, Slim going to be all up and down me. You understand what I'm talking about? So I like that because, as you all know and have heard, I'm on record saying nothing makes me madder than when Carson Wentz threw those two interceptions on two offensive possessions, and Ron Rivera just sat there with his hands folded. No, no, don't get at him, okay? All right, y'all, rule change. Tuesday, NFL team owners approved a proposal that will allow teams that fair catch kickoffs and safety kicks behind the 25-yard line to spot the ball at the 25-yard line. Are y'all cool with that?
What's the point of it, though?
I mean, we ain't going to have no choice. We ain't going to have no choice. So that's one of the joints. We ain't going to have no choice. But I don't like it.
And too, many players, too many players are getting hurt on kickoffs, y'all. And they've tried everything to make it safer.
It's about to be done. They're just going to be placing the ball. Only time we might see it is on fourth down when you punt. That's it. That's the only time we probably see it. Because like you just said, like I'm not cool with it, but well, I mean, what can we do?
Yeah, we ain't going to have no choice.
They're going to put.
Like that. And then go ahead for yourself.
They're going to put flags on the quarterback, running back, wide receivers. And you have to pull that flag in order to stop them. You ain't going to be able to touch them no more and everything. Everybody else can pound it out.
Well, by the time your kids are adult fans, that's going to be real. Like, they're doing everything they can to keep this thing that we like so much in play. So, I mean, that's just what
it is.
We know they don't care about the players, but just overall, if they want to keep putting football on, they're going to have to keep doing stuff like this in order to justify it because,
that
kickoff
is
no joke.
Losing.
We do have to admit one thing, though, Nas.
They care
like you
about
were saying.
The players. They care about losing.
The players are getting bigger, faster, and you can't – I mean, people get knocked out, and then homeboy having a heart attack on the field, that scared the hell out of everybody. You know?
Yep.
So they got to do something.
Reason. They took that shot, and then that's a whole political something else. So we ain't even going to include that in this.
Well, I'm going to include it because it happened.
Yeah,
and it happened on the field.
And that's something that they're looking at. That's something that they're looking
at.
To take it a step further, 57, that boy died and was resuscitated on that field. The NFL does not want that because that makes all of those lawsuits against them substantial. That makes all of them lawsuits substantial. Well, a guy died on the field. You know,
he definitely died.
And thanks be to God that we had the medical staff on standby and ready to go. Because remember, y'all, remember what I said? Why is it taking so long? What are they doing? I mean, we done had 4 or 5 commercials, and then they stopped the game. They canceled the game after that. So that was a serious injury, you know. So, you know, hey, I applaud them at least for trying to make it safe. But football is a car crash every play, man. It's a car crash every play.
It's like diet cigarettes. It's like you know what they're trying to do, but you know it ain't really going to do too much. But you got to make people at least feel good about it because it's the one thing that could kill the golden goose. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get one of them tragic injuries like that, and then people stop putting their kids in youth leagues, stop watching, and just walk away from the game. So you got to do what you can to try to placate people. But, I mean, what we're watching is violence, period. And the thing is, our fans, we got to be willing to admit, like, yo, that's why we watch, because we know these dudes putting their body on the line. This is the high-risk reward, you know, game that we watching. What your boy say to Godfather? This is the business we chose. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we
chose to
business.
Be in.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Nah, it's great point, but I'm mad at Diet Cigarette.
He said Diet Cigarette.
Hey, if you want them to put that on the box to make you feel better,
y'all know what
it is. You know what I mean?
Y'all know what it
Come
is,
on,
man.
Too.
I'm so messy.
Come on, lady.
God, I'm so mad. It's that time, y'all. It's that time. 57. Come on with it.
No.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Big boy has been on this line all this time, and I'm sorry, bro, that I'm just getting to you, but I want, Lady T, if it's all right with you and 57, I want to get Big Boy to
Yes, it time. Is. Love you, Big Boy.
Love you too,
Come on, Big Boy.
I love you. I've been enjoying listening to everybody. Like Lady T said, I love you more than I did yesterday, but not as much as I'm going to be tomorrow. So y'all keep your spirits up and keep doing what you're doing. It's all going to come up from this place.
That's what's up. Love you, man.
Yeah. Get to hear your voice, and you sound better every day. You're sounding better every time we talk to you, so that's a good thing.
Thank you.
And on that note, y'all heard Big Boy what he said. He said, Dan Rekill and Lady T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner. And he also said, Dan Rekill and Lady T would also like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. We're going to love you guys so much more tomorrow. Dan Rekill and Lady T, we are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow us at Kale's Corner on Instagram at Kale's Corner and on Facebook at Kale's Corner. You guys can also log into blogtalkradio.com/UKLMcLean and listen to the broadcast there as well. You guys, enjoy all of the sports tonight. Keep your loved ones in prayer. Rest in peace, Tina. We love you. Kel, you have the last word.
Hey, man. Hey, man. I hope y'all know just how much we really do love y'all, man. Hey, this was a great and amazing show, y'all. Thank you so much, man. I'm touched. I'm touched in my heart. I really love you guys, and I appreciate everyone. And thank you, 57 and Thang and Marcus and 007,
Nas.
Everybody, Nas, everyone for keeping with the clean show tonight. All right, y'all, enjoy the sports. Have a safe weekend. And listen, if you love them, they should already know, but reaffirm it. Grab their high parts and let them know, I love you. All right? We'll give John Tuesday the good Lord willing. All right.